Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the session. ADFS wasn't giving me a challenge, it was just this piece of network cable. Unfortunately, ADFS depends on that as well. Okay, so just to give you a little bit of background, I've been working in the ADFS space for a number of years now, and I think I've just blown the speakers up, but that's not ADFS either. And about a year ago, I got approached by a very major company, and they wanted me to build them a SharePoint ADFS portal. And I said, ADFS, no problem. That bit I can do. I'm not particularly good at the SharePoint bit. I know SharePoint roughly, but I don't really know all the issues there. And they said, no, we've got all the SharePoint people. It's been a very interesting ride. I've had to learn a phenomenal amount about SharePoint to get everything working. The ADFS piece, in a way, is the easiest piece. Getting all the little foibles of SharePoint to work with ADFS has been a major challenge. But we're there, which is really great. So I work out of the UK, pretty much sort of travel around the world doing consultancy, which is a great thing, and I absolutely love the technology. So, first of all, we're going to start by looking at, I want to do just an overview, sort of a session, scene setter, if you like, of ADFS. And then we're going to get into looking at problems with ADFS and how we troubleshoot that. So how many of you have got ADFS installed? Okay, that's probably three quarters. How many of you have had trouble with ADFS? That's just a little less. So everyone else who didn't put their hand up a second time, who put it up the first time, ADFS is working great? Yeah, see? So why are you here? Okay, so I'm going to look at sort of common issues. I'm then going to look at sort of various tricks, techniques you can use to sort out the problems along the way. But let's start with that pace setter. Key concepts. We have a user, also known as a subject, also known as a principal. Actually, that's the best bit of troubleshooting. You start talking to third-party identity providers and say, I want a relying party trust, and they look at you. And then they start talking about IDP, initiated federation, and you're looking at them. So the first thing is to speak the same language. That's my first tip, is when you're talking ADFS, make sure you're all speaking the same language. So we have our user security subject over there and basically requests a token, and that's the key, is requesting a token for application X, all right? We'll authenticate that user, and if it's Active Directory Federation Service, we may authenticate it against our AD. But it is primarily a security token service. And that security token service can go to the AD to authenticate the user. Equally well, it can say, I don't do identity, and send you bouncing off somewhere else to actually authenticate to that identity provider. Okay? So we have this terminology here of issuer ID, IPSTS. So it issues security tokens, and it does, in here, identity. Or you could just refer it to it as an STS. Next, we get back a token, and we present that token to application X. Application X trusts that token. Why? Because we've established a trust relationship between application X and the security token service. Right? The only time that we might exchange information directly from application X and the security token service is when we establish that trust. Why I say we might is that we don't have to. We can do this thing called the exchange of federation metadata if your app supports it and your STS supports it. Otherwise, we manually configure the whole thing. What does that security token look like? Pretty much anything you like, all right? I'm showing name. Don't have to have a name, all right? It's a set of claims. It's a claims about this user. You may not want to know their name. You might just want to know that they're from the sales department of your partner. Right? That's maybe all you need. Of course, the name is always useful when it comes to auditing, but it's not as a requirement. So there's the token. It's signed by the issuer. It can be encrypted. and that is going to be presented to Application X. Application X is going to say, great, trust that token, because we established the relationship. And Application X will then make authorization decisions based on the token. If you're working with a partner organization, there's your partner user, browses to the application. The application says, you're not authenticated. Next thing is, what it will do is says, you better go and talk to the STS iTrust, right? And this is the application trust. So it bounces you off to the STS, the application trust. And now what we need to do is ascertain whether we need to authenticate you there or bounce you off somewhere else. And this is a process of home realm discovery. Because the STS itself may just trust one identity source, in which case it will attempt to authenticate you against that. If that fails, obviously you're not going to get the token. Or it may trust multiple identity sources, right? And in Microsoft ADFS speak, as referred to as claim provider trusts. Next job is you're redirected off to the partner STS, if you choose the partner in your home realm discovery, arrive at the partner STS, presents you with whatever method they use for authentication, right? It could be that it's just username, password, it could be an OTP or whatever method they use, authenticates you, produces a security token. Who can consume that security token? Is it valid for the application? No. So who can consume it? It is the relationship is between your STS and the partner STS. So the only person that can consume that token and validate it is your STS. So what we send it back to your STS, so it's redirected back there. At that point, this guy will then process the token, return another token, and finally we get presented back to the application. And you think, wow, what a tortuous path. And then you think, actually, it's got to work with dumb browsers. Dumb, probably for a browser these days, is unfair. So we semi-intelligent browsers. No, that might be rude to browsers too. I'll leave you to decide what sort of thing a browser is. But basically, a browser is not going to be able to actively go somewhere. You can have active. This is passive profile. You can have active profile where, for instance, if you were running an active service on this and this guy knew he was a partner user, he could go all the way to the other end. But I'm going to concentrate on passive profile here and troubleshooting passive profile. But a lot of the techniques I show you will apply to both. The other thing to be aware of is this is called SP, as in service provider initiated federation. All right? So we are going to the service provider first, or if you like, in Microsoft speak, the relying party first. Right? It is possible to go completely the other way. So you can go to the IDP, the IDP will authenticate you and then offer you, right, a choice. They'll give you a portal of the applications you're allowed to go to. And that's referred to as IDP federation. Right? And quite often when you're talking, especially to people in the SAML world, they'll be thinking IDP federation and you'll be thinking SP federation. Because SP federation is the way that SharePoint works and a lot of other sort of, if you like, Microsoft sphere. Microsoft in update 2 for ADFS have much better support now for IDP initiated federation. The other key thing to realize is what gets it from there to there to there? It's the protocol. Right? If we're looking at SharePoint, as a protocol, it uses WS federation. Right? Inside the transport is the token, and the token is a SAML 1.1 token format for SharePoint, if we're talking SharePoint. You can have a SAML 2 format. And then, so what you've got is WS Federation, you've got SAML as a token format, and then you've got SAML as a protocol. If you want to do IDP-initiated federation, that has to be done using SAML protocol. You can't do WS Federation Protocol for that. So, as I say, if you take SharePoint, which is a classic example for federation these days, it uses WS Fed, and it uses a SAML 1.1 format token. Just in case someone says to you, what about WS Trust? WS Trust is another protocol, and it's used for transporting when we're doing active federation. So when the client is actively talking to an endpoint, rather than sort of being bounced around all over the place. Okay, so what I'm going to do is start off and show you some federation in action. So I have over here my... I hope it's just gone to sleep. It's a nice blank screen at the moment. Yeah, that didn't switch. Why didn't that switch? GGA. Wrong button. Finger trouble with the buttons, right? Nope, still not doing it. Number two. It's because my machine had gone to sleep. It wasn't success. Okay, so this is I'm running Server 2012 on here, and what I've got down here is I have an ADFS, what I call ADFS Corp, and it's running. So this is a domain controller running ADFS. I've also got here. Let's go over here. I've got my SharePoint server, and I've got sitting there is my partner IDP. So this is going to be an IDP as an identity provider. My partner, again, it's ADFS, and that is running on a domain controller. And then I've got sitting over here a server, and I'm actually using this server as my client machine. Now, knowing SharePoint, it will have gone to sleep while we've been talking. So we're going to start off, and we're going to get just the experience of using federation. And first of all, I'm accessing my application on example.net. And as I say, this is, you always need to learn to sing when actually doing these presentations because of the time SharePoint takes to come out of sleep mode. So I'm over to here. I'm on my STS, my security token service. I went to the application. I've been bounced back to the security token service. I'm going to put my credentials in here to go over here. And, okay. It's just as well you're on a troubleshooting presentation. So don't you just love Microsoft? You just imagine the support call. I've got this number here, I've got to tell you. It says contact the administrator. It's a reference number. It's a 3... Ooh, is that 09 or is that 09? E for elephant. F for... can't think of anything. You just imagine going through this and getting it written down at the other end and trying to sort it out. Okay, so what do we do when we're faced with this support call? Number one, ask them where they're going to. Oh, we're going to Corp SAML. All right. Now, this is the default out-of-the-box screen. I hate this screen, and we always customize it. But now we know where we're actually going. So we're going to the corporate STS. So we now know that we need to troubleshoot this on the corporate STS. So we go over to the ADFS server. And I'm coming over onto to my ADFS server. So it's not my partner. It's not my SharePoint. It's my Corp ADFS server. I'll fire up ADFS. That is correct. It was because I didn't have an internet connection. But what I'm looking for here is not at the moment. We might have to get in there. I don't want to be inside ADFS. What I want to do is use the event viewer. And what you've got in the event viewer, tucked away under application and service logs, is we have a very, very important log which will hopefully tell us what's wrong. So it's the admin log here. I've got a couple of red eyes. So I look at this, and what it's saying, a token request received for a relying party identified by, and that's the relying party. Well, it looks correct, doesn't it? So SharePoint @1, that looks absolutely perfect. So let's just go back and see what's going on here. So I've got relying party trusts. So if we imagine what's actually happened is we've hit the application server, and the application server has given a redirect to the client and said, go up to my STS and get a token from me. All right? And that token is identified by that realm identifier. All right? So that is the relying party. So what we need to do is look at the relying party trusts. And here we've got app one. I've got two apps supported on this. And what the identifier in there... And that looks all right, doesn't it? No, it's not. It's the French version of SharePoint. It's SharePoint. So we need to correct that. So I'm just going to remove that. Add that back in. And what we'll do now, so we have got SharePoint. So that is the, say, the relying party identifier. And without that, there's no way. We can go through the... We went through the authentication, didn't we? It authenticated us. It was quite happy. And then it says, it's token time. And it says, I don't have anyone to make a token for. So it gives you this lovely GUID error. You know, so it's really getting you, isn't it? It's giving you a horrible error message because you didn't configure it properly. Did anyone ever see the video, which was Feel the Pain? And you had, if you had an application error, you actually had a little box that came up, and you could decide whether you spiked the developer or you electrocuted them. So it's a bit like that, but they're doing it with GUIDs instead. By the way, while we're in here, you've also got the ability of actually turning on more detailed logging. If you're changing things, if you've got developers actually changing things on the ADFS server itself, you can actually turn on trace logging, and it will combine in with the .NET trace logging. So we've actually got trace logging in there. So let's... go back here, and let's have another go. So we're coming back now into our application number one, which is hitting example.net, which is, again, because we haven't sort of gone into it completely, it's going to be horribly sleepy at this stage. And we'll get prompted now to log in. So I'm going to log in as Tom again, and... logged in as Tom, and we've now this guy's... So why on earth have we got a DNS error? I don't get this. There's something strange going on here, I think. Why have we got a DNS error? We go up to ADFS, and what we're actually saying, give me a token for this realm, all right? And then what's going to happen is the next job, when it's done all that, we've authenticated, we've got it, it's going to do what? It's going to give us a redirect back to the original application. And someone said, what is it? It's a... typo, but where's the typo? Yeah, but where is that FQDN? Where, in the URL of what? Where's it defined? Is it defined on the application, or is it defined? It's defined in ADFS. Yes. So the defined in ADFS is that identifier. So again, what we'll do is we'll just shoot back over here to our ADFS server, and we better have a look for that. And what, so we've got the identifier, which is the realm, but then this is the federation endpoint. We've had a federated relationship with ADFS, and what ADFS says, okay, after I've produced you a token, I'm going to send you back here. And if we look at this, what it is, should be the application DNS, and if we're talking SharePoint, it's _trust, and whatever you do, don't leave off the trailing slash. All right? If you do it for SharePoint, actually, it's okay. But if you do it for other applications that are federated, leave off the trailing slash, they will get very upset, and it will fail on you. And you look at it for hours, and you think, what's going on? Aha, forgot my slash. So do remember to put that on. Okay, so that's done. So now we're in business. So back over to my server, and we'll try this thing once more. And so again, we're off bouncing up to from the SharePoint server. We're going to hit the ADFS server, and we should get a logon prompt in a second. And the problem is you keep fiddling with these things, you're losing all the caching advantage. So I'm going to log on as Tom. And now we should be in without any problems. Okay, so in a moment, this is the big wake-up moment. So we've done a little bit of interaction with SharePoint, but now we're coming back to SharePoint, and it's properly waking up from its sleep, and we'll be in. So very, very important. Configuration, absolutely vital. What I suggest you do is you don't do it through the GUI. What I suggest you do is you use PowerShell to script it, and then you can get it right in your test environment, and then finally, all right, you can then deploy it into production from there. And this, come on. We can start singing Why Are We Waiting? Oh, look, it's doing, oh, no. What's going on now? Oh, dear me. There's nothing, you know, when things go wrong, things can go terribly wrong. So what do we do? Where do we go? Event log, yep, you've got it. Into the event log, and can you remember that number at the front? Yeah? Okay, no problem. So we go into the event log, and sorry, yep, that was the right one. And we have a look here, and where's my event log? It's still open. Let's do a refresh on that. We've got another red eye. And let's have a look, see what it said. Ah, okay. Well, actually, let's open it up. It's probably easier to see. It says Microsoft Identity Server Web. Well, it looks a complicated one. This, the same client browser session has made 6 requests in the last 1 second. Contact your administrator for details. Are there any administrators in the room? Okay, I think we're going to have to come back and troubleshoot that one in a moment. Come on, what's going on here? Right, okay, so, hey, we've got somewhere near sorting it out, but it's not looking too hopeful at the moment. So we better learn a little bit more, I think. So, you've got one of these, all very nice in this demo environment, but you've got hundreds of thousands of users authenticating. And one user is complaining, I keep getting this GUI thing. What's the number? And hopefully you write it down properly. Or maybe they cut and paste it and put it in an email to you, which might be easier. So what do we do? Well, there's 2 things we can do. We could look at it in the event log in XML view, and that is where we actually get the identifier. So it's the correlation activity ID. Simplest thing is to do a find when you're in Event Viewer, taking the number they've given you. And if you do a find and you can't find it, you've probably written the number down wrongly. Or what you can do is you can do an XPath query. And an XPath query you can use with Event Viewer. And that's the format of it. Obviously, the GUI you need to change. And what it will do is it will basically go down through, it will set up a filter, which is going to filter based on the XML information. All right? As I say, very nice and easy to find my problems here, but if you've got an absolute raft of stuff in your event log, just remember, the find is best, but if there are lots of things occurring, the XPath query will bring them all out for you easier. So what you'll do is you do an XPath query, you'll just end up with the results of the XPath query, and you can see all of those tying in with the correlation ID. And then you can discover how unique a GUID really is. Okay, Fiddler. How many of you use Fiddler? That's probably just over half. Okay, Fiddler is your best troubleshooting tool ever when it comes to dealing with federation. Right? And what it will do is it will give you this huge raft of information, but it's actually amazingly readable. So one of the things you have to be aware of is with Fiddler is you've actually got this thing doing a man-in-the-middle attack if you allow it to interpret SSL for you. Right? And if you're using Federation, you're using SSL. So all the transport is SSL. So you need to break it open, and what happens is Fiddler actually sort of hooks itself into WinINet and then spoofs the target, gives you a great big warning saying, are you happy to accept this certificate? And of course you just click OK. And then you're meant to take the certificate out when you've finished, but probably it gets left in your certificate store. But it is a man in the middle, and you can have problems with it. The reason being is that when you authenticate, the authentication tunnel can tie itself to the HTTPS tunnel. And it's referred to as CBT, and channel binding token. So now what happens is somebody authenticates here through to the server, which is sitting here, right? And the HTTPS and the authentication tunnel is tied together. So what the server does, it checks, okay, shall I authenticate this person? Is the CBT correct? Yep, it is. I'll trust that authentication. Put a man in the middle in, and what you've done is you've terminated the HTTPS session and then recreated it. Right? So if you've tied the channel together, you've broken it by the time it gets to the server. Right? And so what you need to do is, if you actually fail authentication, you need to remember to turn off CBT. And you can have a little script if you prefer, or you can go into the configuration, extended protection, and you change the flags to proxy and token checking, none. All right? So one thing I want to show you before we start digging in and using Fiddler is that first redirect. Because the first redirect actually tells you an awful lot. This is the first redirect from the application server. So it looks like that. I've actually decoded it. And what you've got is this guy up here, HTTPS, ADFS, that is your federation endpoint on your security token service. So when you configure the application, you're going to have to make sure you configure the application to use that endpoint and make sure that's correct. So that could be where you're having a problem. The next thing is the action to perform. So we're telling it to sign you in. All right? The next thing in there is the realm. You know when we had troubles with realms? Well, we were passing up the correct realm identifier, but the other end wasn't. That I'm showing the realm identifier as a URL. Right? It's actually just a unique identifier. So I actually don't like using, particularly using URLs. I prefer to use URN format. So for instance, URN colon SharePoint, to say it's SharePoint or, you know, some other application, you know, URN CRM, and then colon again, and an identifier which is unique. So I always put the DNS name in of the actual target system as the final identifier. So that, and then this last one in here, the WC, well, actually it's not the last one in this particular diagram, the WCTX is passed through unchanged by all actors, whatever that means. That's what the RFC says, okay? And so what's actually going to happen is this is sort of, if you like, the way that the application will tie the request up to the return. So the application says, I will create this identifier, All right? Off you go up to the STS and you go off somewhere else if need be, and you come back and finally you present a token. And when you present the token, the WCTX value will be the same. So now the application can say, ah, that was a token that ties in with this request. Right? And then finally, you may have a WCT or you may not, and that's a timestamp. So that may or may not exist. But if the WCTX gets corrupted, that one, you will never tie the request and the returning token back together. So, and I've had this with third-party identity providers who are not using ADFS. They've actually mucked up the return of the WCTX, and we just say, I haven't got a clue what this token's for. Right, so you give up at that point. And this is actually the relationship between ADFS and the target. The other thing is, when you it's all based on redirects, except when the token's coming back. And that is then based on a post. And the post is in a hidden form. It's a hidden form with an automated Java submit button on the bottom. And if you turn off Java, right, Java scripting, you'll actually end up with a web page with a submit button on the bottom. Right? So this page has a hidden form, and inside that hidden form is quite a lot of stuff, but the important thing is it actually has your SAML token in it. It also has the WCTX in it, and say submit button at the bottom and a little bit of Java. So when the user gets it back, if they've turned off Java scripting, they have a page, and if they look at the code of the page, they can see their SAML token. If you're worried about that, you encrypt the token. Right? If you're not worried about it, you leave it unencrypted. But you can encrypt the token, in which case they won't be able to see that. The other challenge is cookies. Right? And we hit, for instance, ADFS, and we get authenticated, and we get a whole raft of different cookies. So this one up the top is MSISS Selection Persistent. This is actually our home realm discovery cookie. So if we go up, and we haven't seen it yet, but if we go up to a STS that has a relationship with a number of claims providers, we'll choose one. And by default, it will remember the one we've chosen for 30 days. And that goes in that cookie. The next one, MSIS Auth, and there's a series of those cookies, is your single sign-on cookie to ADFS. So you sign into ADFS, and it gives you that cookie back, so you can actually go back for requests for access to other applications, right, without having to sign in again. MSISS Signout is a very interesting cookie. And when you sign in to application number one, it will set the fact that you've gone to application one, number one, in your cookie. Now if you go to application number two and go back to the STS, you already authenticated the STS because you have the SSO cookie, right? But what it wants to know about is the fact that you're going to application two, so it extends that cookie. And then you go to application three and extends that cookie again. Application four extends that cookie again. And then what you can do is you can implement federated signout. And when you implement federated signout, it knows where you've been and authenticated, and we can sign you out from all those applications. And then the last one there is the MSIS loop detection cookie for detecting loops. What was that last error message we had? Six attempts in the last... Yeah. So maybe that could help us. Maybe our MSIS loop detection cookie is broken. Problem is with that is what we could do is we can end up in a loop. We can go to the server that says you're not authenticated, up to STS, back with the token, you're not authenticated, up to STS. And we could just be going like this. So our user would be sitting there with the address bar just flipping between the two. And so we need to stop that, and that's what that cookie does. It does the stopping. And then, of course, we hit the application, and the application is going to give us a cookie back. Because every time we go with an HTTPS request to the app, we don't want to have to go off to the STS again. So the application will give us a cookie which allows us to remain authenticated to the application itself. And depending on the application will depend on the complexity of that cookie and how it's given out. So what you need to do is, if you're troubleshooting this, you need to understand the application cookies as well and the application behavior for the cookies and also the cookie timeouts. Okay, so let's go back and let's put on a fiddler trace. So we're going to now to wake this machine up first before doing this. Right, that's better. So what I'm going to do is try and troubleshoot this thing looking at it with Fiddler. So I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to go over back to ADFS SRV. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start up Fiddler. And on Fiddler, I've actually already intercepted HTTPS traffic. So I'm going to just show you that. If you go to Tools and you go to Fiddler Options, here what you can do is you can choose HTTPS and decrypt the HTTPS traffic. And what it will do is it will create a pseudo certificate to act as a man in the middle. So you've got WinINet, you've got Fiddler, and then off it goes onto your target server. So that's already done, so I can just cancel that and put that down. Okay. Now, what I want you to do this time round is I want you to look at the, once we've logged in, I just want you to look at the address bar very carefully. So if we're going to, again, because things haven't warmed up, we're just going to have to wait a little bit for this. But what's going to happen, of course, is we've just gone up to the STS. It's produced as a token, and we're just about to go back down to SharePoint. And at that point, we'll maybe see something interesting going on. Notice, by the way, you can see the WT realm in there. So, okay, so I don't know, did you see it just flickered very briefly, the thing? So let's actually have a look here to see what is actually happening here. So if we just take that up, what we're doing is we are hitting app one, okay? We're hitting app one at this point, so let's just look at that. So there's a get to the app one. We look at the headers on there, and we're going to get a 302, and it's redirecting us. And you bounce around a little bit in SharePoint to begin with. It needs to find the correct authentication page. So this is the important one here. This is from underscore trust. It's basically saying you're not authenticated, all right? So it is doing a redirect, and notice what the redirect is. And in fact, I mean, if you send that to the text wizard, you can actually decode it. So we can actually see everything, the WA sign-in, the WT realm, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where we go off now. Now we hit the STS server. All right, again, and we look at the header. That's what we've got there. The next thing is this green one here with the key is where we actually authenticate against the STS server. And here is where we actually return back from the STS server. And notice, look, it's 200 OK. All right, so it's actually giving us a page back. If you look at all the cookies, we've got the loop detection cookie, so I'm trying to do this without disturbing the screen. We've got the sign out cookie, the MSI authenticated auth 1, auth 2 in there. So all our cookies are there, and it's a 200 OK. So if I just take this page, and what I'm going to do is look at it in text view, and if I just grab that whole thing and view it in Notepad, and what we should do if we do this is we go find Tom, and there is actually Tom down here, and he's Tom Jones at xyz.com is his email address. So this is the contents of the actual SAML token, and can be very useful if you're missing claims, you don't quite know what's going on, we can actually look at that information. And if we look at it in here using WebView, Well, see, there you go. There's the submit button. Okay, so that is now coming down to @1_trust. You remember it said it had to go down to _trust. And this, again, bounces us around a little bit. And what I want to do is look up here. At this point, when we go to, _trust, at this point, what it's doing is it's setting a fed auth cookie. All right, and then we go back to layouts, login. And what it's doing here is it's then, actually this is, oh yes, this is what I'm looking for. So at this point, it presents the fed auth cookie back, all right? At this point here, it doesn't present a fed auth cookie back. So something's happened to the fed auth cookie. The fed auth cookie is the application cookie, and we then end up bouncing around again. And then we're off to the SDS again, because there's no fed auth cookie, you are not authenticated. All right? And then we come back, exactly the same thing, there's our SAML response, here we get our fed auth cookie, here we represent the fed auth cookie, but we don't. So what could be wrong? So we're getting a fed auth cookie, but then it's disappearing. What could be wrong? Turned off cookie. Well, I didn't do anything in between, did I? Definitely not turned off. I can't hear. Can you? It's not persistent. Oh, it is persistent. If it is persistent, because one of the things you can tell here is, it's in the browser session anyway, so you'd see it. But if we look at the setting of the cookie, which is, where is it? It's here. We can actually, hopefully we can see it. Let's actually send to the text wizard. It's good. There you go. It expires. Ooh. But maybe that's a clue. Any other ideas? The time of the server, yeah, you can actually have problems with time of the server. Not in this case, though. Okay. What it is a cookie timeout. So what's actually happened is ADFS has given us a cookie. Not given us a cookie. It's given us a SAML token. What's the SAML token lifetime? Well, you can look it up in the ADFS interface, but, you know, if you're troubleshooting, you don't necessarily know that. So what I'm just going to do is actually I'm just going to shoot down to this part here where we come back. So if we look at this, if we go into, let's actually go into text view, pop it into Notepad, and I'm going to do a find on there, and I'm going to go not Beth. Okay. So what we've actually got is a not before time, all right, and then a not after time. And what can we see there in terms of the what we've got in here? We've got the actual not before time was 15:09, and the not after time was, anyone good at maths? What's that? How many minutes? 15:09 to 15:17. 8 minutes, 8 minute cookie time. And what you've got to realize is that SharePoint has a special window, which is actually called the logon token cache expiration window, which is by default set to 10 minutes. And it says, if the remaining cookie time is not valid for this window time, reject the cookie. So the cookie has been rejected by SharePoint. So what I've actually got to do is actually I've got to go back over to my ADFS server, and I've got to check what that cookie time is. So if we bring up this guy, I can get the ADFS relying party trust. I've actually got two set up, and one of them, the cookie lifetime is zero. And you think, what does that mean? If it's zero, it's actually 60 minutes. All right, the developer didn't like sixes. So it's hard-coded. If it's zero, it's hard-coded at 60 minutes. And what we see over here is this is the one, this is our relying party trust to us, all right? To app1.corp.example.com/trust. And there's the realm identifier. And what we see there is it has an 8-minute cookie lifetime. Okay, so this whole thing is failing because of the cookie lifetime. So if I come in here and I change my cookie lifetime, and let's put it up to 60 minutes again. So it's now set to 60 minutes on here. So what we should finally find out, so we go back to our ADFS server, and let's go back into app one. So finally now, we've been prompted to log in. So let's just do that. And there we are. At last. And this was meant to be the first time. This was meant to be every 2 minutes. So I'm sorry about all the troubleshooting we've had to do. So we're in. And I think you can see the use of Fiddler. You can see absolutely everything you need to see in Fiddler. All right? Except, of course, if the SAML token's encrypted, you can't see the contents of that. However, when you're troubleshooting, you could turn off encryption of that token. All right, so you can see it go through. Okay, so that's got us working at last. Certificates are very, very important. When you're looking at certificates, you've got SSL certs in terms of the HTTPS certificates. Make sure that if your SSL certs have CRLs in them, as in CRL distribution points, you can actually gain access to those CRL distribution points. Next thing is, we have an STS, which is going to be signed. Okay? What sort of certificate should we use there? And that's always a little bit of a challenge. If you, by default, ADFS uses self-signed certs, right? We don't need to check our certificates to root, because we establish the certificates and the validity of those certificates when we establish the trust relationship. So if someone gives us this certificate, which we need down this end, right, that is part of establishing the trust. Right? And when their certificate expires, we're obviously going to have to put a new one in. Right? So you don't actually need to validate them to root. You don't need to check their CRLs. If they are issued with a root certificate, intermediates, etc., you've got to make sure those are all available. You've also got to make sure that ADFS can access the CRL. If ADFS can't access the CRL because it's down sitting behind a UAG front-end server or something like that, you can turn off CRL checking. So we can do that. On the other hand, why not use self-signed? They auto-roll over. And we don't actually, as I say, need to check to root and validate to root. You know, if something goes wrong with this relationship, it's a relationship with a partner organization or a service that's providing you IDP. If you have to wait, if they have their certificate compromised and you have to wait until the CRL has propagated out, there's something wrong with your relationship, right? They should be telling you immediately our certificate's been compromised. Right. So I know an awful lot of companies that say, we're just going to use self-signed because ADFS will auto-roll them over and everything else. But if you do decide to use your certificates and create your own PKI to support them, then that's down to you. But do remember, ADFS will want to get the CRL. It will want to validate to root if it's a root, if it's a certificate with a root chain in it. The other thing, and this is something that is extremely difficult to troubleshoot, do not, whatever you do, use version 3 templates if you're using the Microsoft CA. If you use version 3 template certificates, they don't work. Right? It's a known feature. But it doesn't appear anywhere that that's what the problem is. I had one client, they they were bashing their heads apart. Why? This doesn't work. You know, it's impossible. And I said, no, it's just really simple. And it was a version 3 certificate they had in there. And then the other thing, if you're going to use encryption, you basically need to do a key exchange for the encryption or certificate exchange for the encryption as well. Okay, I think that's probably, you've got the V3 on there. And the support for the third-party CSPs has now been fixed, and this is in the updates. There are now update 1 and update 2. Yes, question.
Just to understand properly, you mean version 3 template
certificates? Oh, yes, sorry. I mean version 3 template certificates, yes. Just to be absolutely clear. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay, when it comes to processing claims in ADFS, we have a claims pipeline. We have a claims provider trust, which I'm showing up to AD, but it doesn't have to be. It could be to a third-party STS or a different STS, partner STS. And what happens is we will process claims coming in, and they're referred to as acceptance transform rules. So what do we take in from that other party? That will then go in the claims pipeline. We'll then process the claims in the claims pipeline and then make a decision as to whether we are going to issue a token, right? And that's in the permit and deny and the issuance authorization rules. If we're going to generate a token, next thing we do is we process the issuance transform rules. So this allows us to take claims in, process them, and push them out the other way. So we could just push a token straight through, effectively. But what we'd be doing is taking claims out of one and putting those same claims in the other. Or we can do complex processing. And then we get our STS, which goes to our relying party. In terms of the rule processing, what you have is an input stream and an output stream. So you take a claim from the input stream, you process it, and then you put it back in the input stream again, and also in the output stream. So why do you put it back in the input stream? Seems a bit weird, you know. Don't you want it going in the output? Why does it go back in the input stream? Absolute, great answer. So you can perform further processing. If you're going in the input stream, watch the... And you want... It will go in the input stream, but if you're reprocessing rules, just be very careful of the order of your rules. If you don't care about reprocessing, you don't care about the processing order. But be careful on that. You can also, if you do a custom claim rule, you can do an issue... or replace issue with add, and what it will do is just add it back in there without putting it in the output. So that's a possibility as well. So there we are, processing the rules. And then you can actually, in the rules, go out, call out to an attribute store of some kind. The AD's there by default. You can go into SQL, you can go into LDAP, or you can go into a completely customized store, and you've got a claim in, you look up, you know, that in your database, and then you create claims or pull claims out of the database, and then they get put in the output stream. So we can do very sophisticated claims augmentation. And we use this for authorizing access to applications, and that in itself is a interestingly complex process. If you want to view the claims pipeline, you can. You can do it by using security auditing. And there's the sort of steps for turning on security auditing. I'll leave that just as reference because I've already turned it on. So we just need to set up the correct auditing. We need to run the audit poll, etc. And then very important, and this step's often missed, on the services node of ADFS, you go to edit federation server properties and turn on success and failure auditing. And then you get things in the audit log, and you think, what on earth do they mean? And what you can do is look at it from this point of view. That user logs in, you get an event ID, 4624. When you then go to the Active Directory for that user, assuming we're using Active Directory as the claim source, and what you get is an event 299, which means the tokens are issued to ADFS. The ADN user and group SIDs are in a 501. they end up in a 500 after the transform processing. And then if after transform processing you get a does the issuance authorization rules, if it's a deny you get a 324, and if it's successful you get a 299, which tells you what you're going to send on the other way. So this is it's a little bit complex to look at, but if you want to know what's going on in the claims pipeline, that is the only way of actually looking into the claims results of the claims processing. So what I want to do is just actually quickly look at auditing. So looking, where are we? Let's switch that over. So I'm going to actually use the security logs here. And I'm going to go in, first of all, where are we? I want to have a... I'm going to clear my cookies first. That's what I'm going to make sure. The cookie, by the way, from... we know the Home Realm Discovery cookie is actually persistent, but all the cookies that you get from SharePoint are also persistent, which creates an interesting challenge. The reason why SharePoint uses persistent cookies is when you turn it over to claims mode and it's doing SAML authentication, there's a whole issue around Office integration. If you're using Windows Auth, right, and you spin up an Office app, it's able to basically re-authenticate that user and therefore go off to SharePoint. But if you use SAML Auth, it can't do that. Right? So what it's got to do is somehow get hold of the cookie. Well, if it was a session cookie, the session cookie's bolted inside the browser. But if it's a persistent cookie, it can grab the persistent cookie, and then you get reasonably good Office integration with SharePoint. So that's it's a point. Again, looking at, you know, I know I'm using my target app as SharePoint, but reality is actually the whole thing of what's the cookie used on the app applies to whatever app you use as the target. You need to know how it consumes cookies. Okay, so what I want to do here is I'm going to log on again. So I've blown away my cookies. I'm going to come back in, and I'm going to go into app one. And I'm actually going to, I've got my, that's my Home Realm Discovery, all right, which has been held in a persistent cookie. I'm going to go in as Corp SAML, and I'm going to do this again, logging in as Tom. And so Tom has logged in. So I'm going to go across to my ADFS server that has just produced this thing. And I'm going to go to my security logs. And what we'll do here is we need to look into the Windows logs security. And notice in here we've got the ADFS 2 auditing, right? So actually what I want to do is I want to look, first of all, for a 4624 event. And this is actually Tom logging in. And so Tom has now logged in here. Okay. So the next thing is a 299. And this is basically saying a token was successfully issued for the relying party. And you look at this, urncorp.example.net:ADFS. I've got one of them. Yes, you have. It's your ADFS service. So it's been issued to ADFS. So when it actually comes from the AD, it actually comes as a token. So it's now arrived at ADFS. And the next thing that happens is we've got a... it says, please see audit 501 with the same instance ID for the caller ID. So if we look at 501, what we can see is we've got corp/Tom. Okay, so that's a standard... We've got his primary SID, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's all his SIDs, but that is the Windows identity itself. And if we have a look at the... Let's just go back to the slide deck 1 second. So let's just pull back on that. So what we've got is the 299, we've got the 501, we would have the 500 is going to give us the output from that. And so if we actually have a look at the 500 event, so if we go back, switching back over there, oops, wrong button, too many buttons around here. What we've got in here, again, we've now got, notice, it's no longer Corp Tom, it's Tom Jones at xyz.com. All right, so he's actually picked up the claim appropriately. And then you can carry on up here. And finally, this is the final event which is actually being sent out. And what we can see is the 500 event associated with that. And we've got Tom, and what he's got a role of domain users and so on. So you can really get inside this. What I want to do now is actually just go back over here, and I'm going to, where are we? On my ADFS server. I want to be here. I'm just going to blow my cookies away again because I want Home Realm Discovery. And I'm going to go up here. And again, this time we should be prompted for Home Realm Discovery. This time I'm going to choose my partner IDP. And I'm going to go off to the partner IDP. And of course, this thing will have been sucked out of memory by SharePoint. And so it'll take a little bit of time to come in. So now, notice STS IDP. So this is my IDP partner, as in my identity provider. And log on to that. So we're now actually logging in to my partner, hopefully. Oh, I know I typed the password correctly. What's the problem? You know, you have been told. Let's check the security log. So I need to check the security log on my here. Oops, sorry, I'm not looking. And oops, there we go. There it was. Sam. Oh, this is absolutely, I love it, don't you? An error occurred during logon, as if I didn't know that. Any ideas? Sorry? Client disabled? No, all clients are working. No, accounts are working, Sam's account's perfect. It's there, it's in front of you. It's an error occurred during logon. If you ever see that really exciting message, think CBT, channel binding token. So I've gone to a different IDP, and this one is got man-in-the-middle protection on. And by the way, you can get back to your own environment and try all this out and say, there's never any problem with CBT. It depends on the server, it depends on the client, right? And it depends on the configuration. So what I've actually got to do on my partner here is actually go up to Internet Explorer, and I need to drill down to the LS directory. Oops, wrong place. And what I need to do is look at the web config on that. And let's just take that up in size. And what you've got buried down here under security Windows authentication, it's on the slide deck, so don't worry remembering it. You have extended protection. And you need to set the flags to proxy, which basically means something can be in the way. And then I'm actually going to disable the token checking. Apply that. And then what I want to do is go back over to here, and I'm just going to, actually no, we can, no, I'll blow the cookies away, just to be absolutely safe. Blow the cookies away, close that, bring up Fiddler Trace, delete it, everything we've captured so far. And then what I'm going to do is go back to Act 1. And what we'll do now is we'll go up to our IDP, continue the sign-on to the IDP, log in as Sam. And now she's logging on to the IDP. So what's actually happened is we'd gone to SharePoint. SharePoint sent us to our STS, did a home realm discovery, sent us up to the partner STS, all right, requested a token for the realm, which is our STS, came back with a token, and any second now we'll be through into SharePoint, I hope. But say the what will have happened is the partner IDP will have had, the problem is you're running SharePoint balloons out in your virtual environment and actually slows everything down. And particularly, it's effectively by changing that value, it would have reset my partner IDP. So I think you can see that, you know, it is actually pretty viewable using Fiddler, and you can actually, if you take the steps through, remember, security auditing can be a good friend as well. This guy can be an enormously good friend, which is a claims web part. Okay, it's available on CodePlex. You can download it. And what we like to do is, if we're using SharePoint, we put it in an underscore layouts, so it's available to all applications, and we can actually check that we're getting claims through. Just to show you that in the last few minutes of the session, it always worries me when you hear other sessions clapping because they've finished, and I'm looking at my time, thinking, no, I've got another few minutes. Just to show you that trace, let's just go through that. So we hit app one. It bounced us off to our STS, which gave us a redirect, all right? And it's giving us a redirect up to the corporate, I'm in the wrong place. This is giving us a redirect up to the corporate STS. Notice here that if we grab that lot, actually, let's take the header, and let's take this and just pop that in the text wizard. Notice it's sending us off here to the STS, doing a sign-in. The realm, that's our STS's realm, right? The WCTX is a GUID that allows our STS, or ADFS, to tie back. When it gets the token back, it allows it to map it back to us, all right? So. And then it will set the WCTX correctly. So the STS, here's the logon to the STS. Now we've got a 200 OK. So if we actually look at that in text view, view in Notepad, and down here, you can see quite clearly the SAML token. It's encrypted between ADFS servers by default. All right. If you need to see it, you can tell ADFS not to encrypt. There's a line of PowerShell that will allow you to do that. So we're now back at our STS, and then so that's now presented to our STS, which in turn will send us back. There's the 200 OK from our STS, and buried in there is the token and all the cookies. We end up at SharePoint, and we're in. Okay, so all quite simple, really. What I suggest you do is you spend some time experimenting. The other issue we have is with performance, things are not performing. There's an awful lot of performance counters available for ADFS. And I'm not just going to speak my way through that one. Just say they exist. You can measure performance in ADFS. In terms of resources, Rollup 2 is out now. Rollup 1 was needed for Office 365 integration. Rollup 2 has sorted out some issues with SAML, with IDP-initiated federation. It's also got some other performance features in there. So well worth putting Rollup 2 on, okay? There's the ADFS troubleshooting guide. There's the ADFS SDK. So you know I said that. Didn't like that page for home realm discovery. you can modify that page a little bit through the web config file. Alternatively, use the SDK and understand it completely. It is incredibly simple to set up one-time passwords. And we spent, I think it was about 3 hours, and we built a one-time password using SMS messaging on our ADFS server. This last one is extremely good, is the content roadmap. If you haven't found it, I think it's a TechNet wiki. If you just do a search for the ADFS content roadmap, and basically it's where the ADFS team put all their information about ADFS. So well worth a look in there. So in summary, it can be tricky, all right, to federate and sort it all out. Key helpers, event logs, matching your correlation IDs, which we know how to do now. Performance counters, if you've got slow performance. Capturing tools. I'm an absolute advocate of using Network Monitor, but I never use it with federation. It's just not necessary. Fiddler will do it all for you, all right? And actually, it's a lot easier to do it in Fiddler than trying to do it in the Network Monitor, because trying to make sense out of the Network Monitor trace when you've got HTTPS requests going on, all the rest of it. Security auditing, really good for looking in what's happening in the claims pipeline. And this is, while systems are working, capture them, become familiar with them. Don't be frightened about breaking open the traces and dropping down. And particularly, the sort of text wizard in Fiddler is really good. It's taking something, dropping it in the text wizard. You can do exciting things like you remember the cookie that holds all of your logons, that where you've been? It's actually a large chunk of that cookie is Base64 encoded. And if you drop it into the text wizard, trim off the top front end and the back end, which is other cookie information, and then just convert it in the decoder in there. Lots of decode capability. The other thing is ending an argument with ACS. ACS is the Azure Access Control Service, right? And if you're working with a third party, right, and the third party's saying, no, it's your fault, and you're saying, there's nothing wrong with our end, all right? I've done this so many times now. I break the conversation, says, okay, what we'll do is we'll federate with ACS in Azure, all right, and we'll prove that our bit works. And, of course, it's either a 10-minute job or it's a 10-minute job while you connect to ACS and then half an hour before you call them back while you fix your end. But you basically, it's a very, very good tiebreaker. So have a look at the ACS service in Azure. What it does is it allows you to actually federate with Google Live ID. Don't use Live ID, because all it does is it gives you back a string, all right? And you need an email address really probably coming back. So use it as a tiebreaker. Oh, advertising shamelessly. That's the end of the session. And all I've got to do is ask you, please fill in your evals. Comments are really, really useful about the session. It's always great. I always read all the feedback, see how I can improve the session for another time, see what people liked and enjoyed. And it's really satisfying to see the comments. So the score's terribly important, obviously, but the comments are also extremely important to me. And I will read every single one and do it from there. So enjoy the rest of the evening and enjoy tomorrow. And this is my last session at TechEd this year. So maybe see you next year. Thank you. And if you've got any questions, by all means, just come down and ask away. I'm not in a rush to go.